a shepherd's study, helping pastors discover literature to broaden their ministries. This week we take a look at Natural Law, a Lutheran Reappraisal, edited by Robert C. Baker and Roland Cap Elke. Our reviewer this week is Pastor Ben Schaefer. Robert C. Baker received his MDiv from Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, and is pursuing an MS degree in healthcare ethics at Creighton University in Omaha, Nebraska. Roland Cap Elke holds MDiv and SDM degrees from Wisconsin Lutheran Seminary, as well as MA degrees in history and English, and a PhD degree from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Elke has authored and edited numerous essays, articles, and books, and served for many years as editor at Northwestern Publishing House. He currently serves as Associate Professor of Philosophy in the School of Arts and Sciences at Concordia University, Wisconsin, in Mequon. Natural law has a rich and diverse history within Western philosophy and the Christian Church. For many modern Protestants, however, the concept and its biblical basis seem to have faded from existence. The general editor, Robert C. Baker, notes in the preface that this book had its genesis when he served as an editor in the recent update of the Lutheran Confessions. He was particularly drawn to Melanchthon's line of argumentation in Apology 23, in which he contends against mandatory priestly celibacy on the basis of natural law and natural rights. This book offers 16 essays by 16 authors to help the reader grasp the history and the practical import of natural law. This book is one attempt to add a Lutheran voice to the increasing discussions in Christianity today. It includes various scholarly viewpoints, for example, pastors, professors, synodical administrators, philosophy teachers, etc., and connects with many societal issues, for example, gay marriage, abortion, etc. The essays are divided into three parts. The first part of the book deals with natural law and the early Lutheran tradition. An opening essay touches on many of the natural law themes which reappear at other points in the book, such as its biblical basis, its demise in society, its connection with the orders of creation, and its concrete applications. Natural law demonstrates a point of contact where Greek philosophers and Christian teachers have found common ground, namely, that the universe is governed by law inscribed into the nature of things, and human beings can use their reason and conscience to know what is in accord with the law of nature. One sees the importance of natural law based on its rejection, which led into the situation ethics of the 20th century and relativism in the church. This opening essay provides an interesting starting point, but it also seems to be a mile wide and an inch deep. Moving on to Luther and the other reformers, the book works backwards from the present day in an effort to differentiate Luther with scholasticism from some of the more familiar theories. Philosophers in the Age of Enlightenment, for example, sought to create a more universal, rational basis for natural law. They envisioned that humans could know every aspect of natural law and morality clearly by using their reason and observation. Thus, they detached natural law from any traditional foundation and, more importantly, any connection to God. Luther and the scholastics before him, however, had a much different view of natural law, a view which was rooted in God's moral will. It appears that Luther received the basic tradition of natural law from the medieval church while emphasizing two aspects, the natural law as the law of love and the corruption of human reason through sin. That is not to say Luther agreed with Aquinas and the scholastics on every point, but they all agreed when it came to recognizing the inseparable connection between God's divine moral law and natural law. The authors explain